Are you stressed? Do you fear what you'll be facing when you wake up in the morning? Is life simply causing you to question its essence? If so, you're in the right place. Welcome to Spirited Daydream, the show featuring lightworker and psychic medium Carla Shields, where the answers to some of life's, and yes, the afterlife's most thought-provoking and compelling questions are sought. Spirited, as Carla is known as by many, brings her inspiring, passionate, and powerful spiritual teachings to the internet. So, let's take a moment to welcome the host of the show, your spiritual healer, Carla Shields.
It's Carla Shields. It's Spirited Daydreams. It's nice that you're back with me today. This topic is very close to my heart, hitting rock bottom and rising up again. Everyone in their lifetime, of course, experiences tough times. The good news is that tough times don't usually last, but tough people do, as Dr. Schuller said many years ago. I have a couple of stories. I was going to start out differently this morning. I had put together quite a bit for you. And the stories I'm going to tell you were part of that. I'm going to change the format a little because things happen in remarkable ways. Getting ready for this show, because it's so close to me, was difficult. I dug back into my memory, relived some moments, because it's important to share with you so you understand I have a frame of reference. Because those that are meant to hear this show, in part, may be experiencing some rather difficult times. You may have lost someone. You may have lost a child. You may have lost a parent, a lover, a friend, a business associate, someone close to you. You may be experiencing an addiction problem, some other difficulty in your life, and you may be just down there saying, what do I do now? I'm lost. I'm feeling alone. I've got people around me, but I'm just not here.
I was going to do it differently, but I looked in the newspaper this morning. And a young man in our town, 23 years old, with a promising future, college education, new girlfriend from a very good family, young man with a good, solid work ethic, good manners, passed away this week. He died from a heroin addiction, heroin overdose, and from what I understand, rumor has it, and I don't usually follow rumors, but this is important because someone out there might need to know this. There's a strain of heroin that's out now that is stronger than what people were using. If you're using it at all, please get help. So apparently that's what took his life. The strain was stronger than what he had been using. It was too pure, I guess. And very sad, very sad. My heart goes out to his family, his girlfriend, his friends, and the community. It's a very sad loss when you lose a child. There is nothing like it, I can tell you for sure, that I do know what that feels like. When my husband and I were married in 1992, we knew each other for many, many years. We were very good friends. And things just came together, and we ended up falling in love. After our respective divorces, there was no intention to do so. I just feel it was meant to be. That's the good news. A year after we were actually married, his children came to live with us and my son. And so we had five of us in our little house. And it was, of course, it's always difficult when you're trying to blend a new family. It was harder for Megan, Dan's younger child, the daughter. I adopted her as my daughter in my heart immediately, and I do call her my daughter, and I consider her still to this day my daughter, not a stepdaughter. I never did go in for that. You're either in or you're out. But I want you to know that if you think I haven't hit rock bottom, well, I have many times, and we all have different rock bottoms. There may be someone that you love that's ill, and that may be pulling you down. In my case, for this particular true story, Megan was going through counseling at one point after a couple of years of living with us because, she was approaching her young teen years. She was still preteen. And she was having difficulty, as so many kids do today. And we did when I was young. It's such a difficult time. Your hormones are changing. The kids are, more competitive and nasty. And she had moved in to our community from a different community. So, like so many small towns, she was an outsider to the kids. And they teased her and they ragged on her. It didn't help that she had red hair because apparently they weren't used to that. So, if she had been out in the sun, it would streak a little blonde and they would make fun of her, which I found out many years after she died because people came forward to me and they still are coming forward to me to talk about it. When a child or a young person dies, the whole community suffers. Everyone, and I didn't see it at first, everyone felt it. Everyone still feels it. The kids that went to school with her at the time that were bullying her, part of the counseling at the request, and thank goodness, we tried, her guidance counselor, and we tried to help. The bullying she was taking at school about being a little bit different and being an outsider, she wasn't yet considered to be an insider, and of course kids will pick on you for anything when you're a kid. It doesn't have to be that, but they'll find anything, won't they? And that was part of her problem. It was very difficult because she was a very intelligent, sweet, pretty, nice above all, girl. On top of that, her mom, and I actually have written some things down, but I'm just going to share this from my heart. Her mother, I consider myself her mom. Her mother, unfortunately, the reason they came to live with us was her mother was in another marriage, and I don't know what the situation was there, and I don't want to hurt anyone. I only know that her mother could not have the kids living with her anymore. And either we took them or she was going to put them in a foster home, and of course we took them. In. Of course we did. So after a few years, and Megan at this point was in counseling, she was 13 and hormones were raging. She really wanted to go back with mom because she'd feel more comfortable in the area, in the community, and she was having a tough time acclimating. And no matter what we did, you can only do so much. You do your best. Well, we never saw this coming, my husband and I, never, because she had counseling and the therapist was wonderful. Got to a point where it was time to take a little break. She thought things were going well. That was about a month before this incident. It was December 22nd, and my husband and I got out of work a little bit early that afternoon from the holiday party. And met my husband up at my parents' house in another city, not where we live, because we were going to go shopping in that area and get some more presents for our kids. Last-minute Christmas shopping, we had done some, but of course you never have enough for your children. And we wanted to make it very special because my husband's mother had passed away December 5th.
from cancer, and she was only 59. So the kids, the family, we were all feeling that as well. And poor Megan, between the school and the situation, not being able to live with her mom and losing her Grammy, that, you know, children, it's the hardest thing, isn't it? Usually for children, it's losing your grandparent first. For my son, he was 8 years old at the time this happened. And he considered Megan his sister. There was no stepsister stuff. So December 22nd, the kids went to the school. It was the last day of school before the Christmas break. And they came home, and Brian, Megan's older brother, a couple of years older, you know, was doing what he did, and apparently, you know, watching over things as best he could, but, you know, wasn't anybody's fault. This wasn't anybody's fault. I got a phone call. We got a phone call because Brian knew we were going to be up at my parents' house to meet, to go Christmas shopping. And Megan had passed away. She had committed suicide. Bear with me. It's a very difficult topic, even to this day, to talk about. Very difficult. Without going into details that might hurt the living, I can only tell you that her older brother, Ryan, moved out a few years later and went into the Air Force and found his way and got married and went on his path. So he wasn't with us too much longer, just a couple of years after this happened. And my son and my husband and I dealt with a lot of follow. Of course, my son was only 8 when his big sister died. And it was very tough to help him acclimate through school. And thank goodness he's doing very well today. He's in university and he's on his own path and doing quite well. I'm very proud of him. And Brian is finding his own path. And things are good for both of them, and I always wish them well. As far as Megan is concerned, our hearts broke and part of us died with her. When people lose a child, they need answers. Quite frankly, I was personally numb, and so was my husband. We were in shock. We went to family counseling, all of us, to try to at least get situated, get started with the healing process. I couldn't cry for 6 months at least. It was quite a while. I was in shock. And dealing with such a thing, I had never been that close to it. And my husband, of course, was devastated, but he's a very strong man, and to this day, he's very practical. He's very practical, Yankee, and as much as we can talk about it now, but it took quite some time before he could talk with the family in the household about it, and that's about as far as it goes today. But it's a healthy conversation in the household now. And we dealt with the stigma. There's a big stigma when you lose a child. If you lose a child from, even if it's drugs, even if they're all grown up, like this young man at 23, even if it's a wonderful family, I just know in my heart, as hard as it is for them, and as how painful it must be for all those that cared for him, that somewhere someone is going to very carelessly say, well, if you had done things different, he wouldn't have become addicted to drugs. Like it was, it's always, you know, I heard things like the red-headed stepchild joke, apparently. I had never heard about it, never heard that insinuation that a red-headed stepchild was supposedly not wanted, and good Lord, did that hurt. And it's something you don't talk about. You don't talk to people about your family member committing suicide. It took 15 years before I could talk to anyone outside of family or counselors
and God and my guides and my very good friends that were here for me. And part of the healing process was reaching out because, yes, I've always been a psychic. And I learned how to channel and use my mediumship abilities thanks to Christopher Reber, my brother in spirit, and my teacher. He helped me tune some of my gifts so that I could connect directly with Megan, because I really didn't feel comfortable going to someone else. Although she did come through with a message or two for me, I just wasn't too comfortable, and I wanted to talk to her myself. It was a blessing that I could, absolutely. She works with me every day. She's with me in spirit every day. She's working to save people and to help them transition over when they do pass, like this young man in town. She works around the world trying to help people, young people in particular, trying to help them, inspire them to help themselves before it's too late. Because she doesn't want it to happen to anyone else. She didn't mean to hurt anyone in the family. It is a result of what any one person did. She was in a lot of pain, as most people that commit suicide are. It was very difficult for her. And one can only imagine how awful and how depressed, how tremendously depressed you must feel to take that step. And sometimes it's taken before thinking. Sometimes that step is taken because you're so emotional and so upset that you don't stop and think before it's too late. So this show is really for people to know that there is life after tragedy for those that survive. And for those that pass over, they go on, like Megan. They do work on the other side. They have assignments, they have duties. They help and heal as many people on earth as they can. Everyone has something to do. And if you've lost someone near to you, oh, by the way, yes, even today, on occasion, although I can communicate and do with her myself now, even today, sometimes she'll come through to Christopher for me. And this show isn't about Christopher. He doesn't like it when people, I don't think, mention, him like this, but it was very important to me because he helped my gifts open up, helped me open up to the public. I was always able, to warn people or try to warn people when something was about to happen that they weren't ready for. There was a young woman that was about to become pregnant, and I did have a dream 2 weeks before I saw her. It was too late to warn her at that point, but I did. Sometimes those things happen. That was way before I ever got involved in the classes and to fine-tune my mediumship ability. Over the years, I've been able to help some people, and I've had many people come to me when things have been tough and just talk. And, I tend to be a very private person when I'm out in public. So depending on the situation, you might think, some people might think it odd that all of a sudden someone's coming up to me and talking about their personal problems, but I've had this happen all my life. It's just because my energy gives forth that presence, apparently, I'm told, where they feel comfortable if things are going tough talking to me. And I'm sharing this with you not to toot my own horn, but because when you hit rock bottom, you need help. And on your way down, if you're the person going down the situation like it was with Megan, you're still too involved to realize or to even foresee, even if you are, and everyone is psychic to some degree, even if you have a premonition
or you have a gut feeling, you know, you still have hope, and you're still doing everything you can to fix the problem. If there's an addiction in the family, if it's a bad relationship, if it's a, you know, someone's ill, you're doing everything you can to live today and try to help and hold on to hope. You might know things aren't working right, but you're still trying. But when you hit rock bottom, whatever that is for you, you know, you can feel so drained and so helpless and sleepy. And sometimes you get into denial, or rather shock. I like to say shock. It's not always denial. Sometimes the emotion is just too strong. And, you know, your spirit guides and your angels will help you go into a mild form of shock to protect you and guide you through the difficulty, as opposed to you physically collapsing. So it's not always denial. Sometimes it is spiritual assistance for you to help you cope with the rock bottom. You know, when you're at the bottom, you need help. And usually when you're going through something, once you get through a memorial service or you see the doctors or you see your divorce counselor or your personal therapist or whoever you use as a mentor or a counselor, your best friend, perhaps a family member you're comfortable talking to, or maybe you talk to those that have crossed over like I do sometimes. I'm always talking to my loved ones on the other side, always. I always have, my whole life. And sometimes I don't, well, that's another story. But you can do that, you know. There's nothing wrong with that. And they do hear you. And sometimes you'll get inspiration, or you'll have a little ray of light come through so that you know what you can do next. You have a little hope, a little way out, rather than circling down the drain and feeling so terrible. You have to forgive yourself for whatever you didn't do, because no matter, and I'll tell you, I've connected over the years more recently now, when I do mention that my daughter committed suicide, there are so many of us. In your community, you would probably be amazed at how many of us there are suicide survivors. They call the family and loved ones the people that survived suicide survivors, which until this happened, I would have always thought that was the person that attempted to commit suicide but failed. And I guess that's in that same arena as well. But when you have lost someone and you've lost a child, it's tragic, tragic, tragic. You've lost someone you care about, it's tragic. Whether it's a spouse, a parent that's committed suicide, whatever it is, it's very difficult. And there are very few people you can talk to about it. There are going to be people, there are people that come forward and are so loving and so caring, but it's so hard for you to talk about with them, usually. You know, you're trying to deal with it yourself, and it's, as much as you appreciate them coming forward to you, you know, you thank them, and you give them a hug, or you're very grateful for their caring, but it's not enough, because what you need is gone. You need answers. You need to know why they did that, what possessed them. And you can go through everything. You can go talking to their friends, and you may not find out some of the pieces for 15 years. You may never find out some of the pieces. You may, like me, have communicated or wish to communicate with your lost loved one on the other side, and I am. I want you to know the main reason I have opened up is because Megan asked me to. She knew before she died that I had abilities. I was very careful with the kids not to say too much. I didn't want it to color their upbringing. But she just knew. And when she crossed, she wanted me to help. She came through to me through pressure as well. Dreams, I had too many signs from her to ignore that this is what I needed to do. Because it's I'm here to help you. The reason I'm here is not to make $2 million and be on ABC, CBS, or whatever. I'm not on the radio to be top honcho and most popular. That's not why I'm here. I'm here to try to help you heal. I'm here to reach out to anyone that needs help. Whether you've lost someone from suicide, to suicide, or you yourself have attempted suicide or considering it, or there's an illness, a child you've lost to addiction, to illness, a loved one, a parent, anyone. It doesn't matter. I am here to try to help you. You need a medium, not a psychic. As a psychic, we can give you intuitions and clairvoyance, what we see. If you continue on your present path at this moment, we can give you a snapshot of what we see. And what we may feel partially intuitively. As a medium, we can help connect to the other side of the veil, to what many consider to be heaven, and we can communicate with the assistance of our guides and the guides of your loved ones, working together to try to communicate with them and get a bit of a message for you. Understand that many times the message isn't going to be a book. In other words, you're not going to get a message usually, especially the first time, that is a paragraph. You may get a sentence or two. You may get something that hits home to you that validates that no one else would know but you, that is indeed the person you're trying to connect with. We don't know, as mediums, that is always the validation for you. It's my job to pass that on to you, and I will do so. To anyone that needs help, anyone, know that if you've hit rock bottom, tough times never last. But tough people do. You have a lot of help on the other side. You have everyone that loved you, that passed on before you, in your family and friends, they're all there. You have people from prior lifetimes that are still watching out for you. Your guides are with you 24/7, always trying to help you. Your angels are always around you. And you can certainly email me at prayers@spiriteddaydreams.com. SPIRITEDDAYDREAMS.com. Please do reach out to me if you need some help. Please do follow my blog at spiriteddaydreams.com. I'm on Facebook as well. I'm on Twitter. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm out there reaching out in the hopes that Spirit will connect you to me. I am not the type to pass out stack of business cards. I trust in Spirit to guide you to me, and I will be here for you when you need me. In the meantime, please do stay tuned for next week's show, which is the next phase of this. It will be a bit more upbeat and stronger because I have things to talk about. What happens next? What do you do now? You've hit rock bottom. You're starting to be able to see, okay, there might be a way out. And I have some ideas of my own as well as from the other side, as well as some terrific things from many experts around the world that might help you. I love you all. I truly do. Take care. Bye-bye.